Begin reading in verse number 9. And we've been studying, or not really studying, just been preaching on a thought that the Lord laid on my heart several weeks ago and been sticking with that thought. Have you ever been like that? You just get a thought on your mind and the Lord just get pressing it on your heart. And it's easy to take that thought and just study it one time or just look at it one time. But to go through the Bible and just see where God is with us. Where God is with us through everything that we go through, no matter where we go. I had a funeral today, and I went to that funeral and was waiting, and they were setting up the chairs. They were setting up the tent. They was laying the green fake carpet out to make it look nice and not muddy. And I'd been to that grave earlier in the week, to the same funeral home, same gravesite, and I thought, man, that's pretty close to where the other man was buried. So that's pretty close. I was thinking to myself, you know how it is. I mean, there's a lot of tombs out there. I was thinking to myself, that's pretty close to where that other man was buried. And when I went to preach that funeral today, I was right beside the head marker from the man earlier in the week. His head marker was there, and the other man's head marker was here. Ain't that something? I'm not smart enough to figure that out. God knows. But I do know this, that mine's going to be in a funeral home one day. Mine's going to be in a grave one day. And I just need to know that God's with me. Can I get amen? If you have a copy of God's word, Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 9, God is with us in our prayers. Okay? God is with us in our prayers. Before I read this, let me say that God does not hear a lost person's prayer unless it's the prayer of repentance. Okay? God does not hear a lost person's prayer unless it's the prayer of repentance. All these prayers that they pray, and Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do that. You do this, I'll do that. Listen, a saved person is who he's listening to. Okay? That's who he's listening to the prayer of repentance. But tonight, the model prayer is this. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Amen. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify you tonight. Father, Lord God, we lift up no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that for the next few moments that everybody in this room, that they can say that God is with them, that God is, you have sat right down amongst us tonight, Lord. We've heard the prayer request all over the room. We've heard the ones that's got cancer. We've heard the ones that have sickness tonight. Father, we ask you to touch them. Reach down from heaven. Mend their body. Touch what's going on. Touch their mind. Touch their soul, touch their spirit. Lord God, move on them in a mighty way. Lord, I pray right now for the sister that I mentioned her family a while ago, and she said, I've got lost loved ones. Lord God, I pray that you save her lost loved ones. Lord, I pray you save my lost loved ones, Father. Lord God, I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you'd reach down for heaven and just break out in a great revival around this place, Father. Not something that we put on a calendar, not something that we've looked toward, Father, but something we've prayed for, Father. Lord God, that you'd just send down and you'd rain down. Lord God, you're with us tonight and you can do that. Father, I love you. I thank you. I glorify you. I ask you to guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Let me not mention one word but Jesus Christ tonight. Let me not get on running rabbits. Let me do none of that. Let me just preach, thus saith the word of God. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. I ask it in no other name but the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight as we come, we see here the model prayer. We see we've been looking at the thought that God is with us. And when we pray, we can be assured that God is with us in our prayers. And he hears his children's requests. There's not a child of God that calls on the Father and he don't hear that request. He knows that request. He hears that request. And here in Matthew chapter number 6, we see that model prayer. But if you go over to Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 1, well, you know, understand that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. They could have asked for anything under the sun, and they could have asked for anything. But only thing they asked the Father for was this. They asked Jesus, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. You know why? Because they knew that prayer was important. They knew that prayer was their lifeline. They knew their prayer was the communication to the Heavenly Father. They knew they needed that in their life. I want to say to you tonight that it's very important to have a prayer life tonight. You say, preacher, I have a great Bible study life. I have a great this and that. The greatest thing you can say in your life is that I am a prayer warrior. I intercede for people and I pray and I talk to the Heavenly Father. But tonight as we look at the model prayer, we see that Jesus did just that. He answered what was going on. And Jesus started with God the Father in the model prayer and he ended with God the Father. Now I want you to know tonight in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 9, this is not the Lord's Prayer. If you want to look for the Lord's Prayer, you'll turn over to John chapter number 17 and that is the Lord's Prayer. But this is not the Lord's Prayer. This is the model prayer. So tonight I want to look at the model prayer tonight and that God is in that model prayer and we can use it in our life. Number one tonight, we notice the position of God. We notice the position that God is in when we pray and where He's at when we pray. It says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. I see tonight that He laid it out as our Father tonight. I see that He is the personal Father tonight. You have to know Him tonight. He has to be your Father. He has to be your God. He has to be your Lord tonight. He said, our Father which art in heaven. I see not only the notice of the position of God as He is our personal Father, but I see tonight also we notice that He is seated in the heavens. Amen. He is seated in the heavens. I want you to know tonight He's not the man upstairs. He's not the big man in the sky. You don't reverence in Him that way. He is God Almighty. Amen. Hey, He is God Almighty, and that's how we reverence Him. If all you know Him is as the man upstairs or the big guy in the sky, you missed the light in your life. You won't find that in the Bible. You won't find Him labeled that way in the Bible, and He may not answer you when you call on Him that way. He said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You keep His name above every name. You don't belittle His name. You uplift His name. Whoa, glory to God. He's a personal Father. He is seated in the heavens tonight. He said, our Father which art in heaven. He said that He is a personal. He's seated in the heaven. And look what He said. He said, not only is He a personal Father, not only is He seated in heaven as His position, but He has a name that's above every name tonight. He said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed it be thy name. You say, preacher, what does that mean tonight? That means that His name should be honored in your life. That means His name should be reverenced in everything that you do. And that means that He has a holy name. He has a name tonight and His name is a God tonight. Can I get an amen? Hey, Jehovah God tonight, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the God I'm talking about tonight. I see His position. We notice it. He is a personal Father. He's seated in the heaven and He has a name that is above every name. But I notice something else here. Not only do I see His position that we notice, but look at this. Not only has He got a name that is hallowed, but He is a king. Woo-hoo! Come on, talk to me, somebody. He is a king, amen. Let me back that up. He ain't a king. He is the king, amen. Look what He said. He said in verse number 10, thy kingdom come. Now, if He's got a kingdom, that means He's a king. If He's got a kingdom, that means He is a king. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter number 19 and verse number 16 tonight. I want to show you this in the position that He has. Not only is He a personal Father, not only is He seated in the heaven, but He is a king tonight. He is the king, the only king tonight. He is the king that you need and that I need in my life tonight. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved than at the name of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 19:16, the Bible says, and He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, and that name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who we serve tonight. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 15. Old Timothy said, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How we notice His position tonight. There's no other position, and He don't share His position with nobody. Amen. Nobody. He don't share His position. Nobody's higher than Him. Nobody's greater than Him. There's nobody bigger than Him. There's nobody. It's Him. It's Him. It's Him. It's Him alone. I'm trying to tell you tonight, it's His kingdom and it's Him alone tonight. You say, preacher, what would that do in my life? When you put Him on the throne, it'll do a lot in your life. Amen. Because if He's on the throne, you've got to be dethroned. Whoa, glory. If He's on the throne of your life, you've got to be dethroned. You can't run it the way you used to run it. You've got to sit down and let Him have control. Amen. Can I say to you tonight, He's not my co-pilot. He's my pilot tonight. He's the one directing my steps tonight. Let's move on through this tonight. Man, I'm excited to talk about this, that God is with us in our prayers. Number one, we notice the position of God. But number two, we notice in the model prayer, we notice this, or we see the need, His authority of God. We don't only notice the position of God, but we see the need, or we see the authority of God in our life when we pray. You get this tonight? When you pray, you don't pray your will, you pray His will. See, my will, I don't know the perfect will for my life, Brother Travis. I have no clue. I had a perfect will at one time, and I messed it up. Somebody say amen to that. I had a perfect will. I thought, this is what we're going to do, amen? And I messed it up. But then when I got in the will of God, there's been some things I've told my wife. I said, I can't believe it's going this way, but glory to God, it is. It's His will. He said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So tonight I see that His authority is His will that'll be done. You say, preacher, what are some of these wills that He will do in your life? I want to give you a few tonight on the authority of God's word and here found in Scripture. Number one, get this. Here's what He said. Give us this day our daily bread. Can I say to you tonight that His authority is His? He is the one that's able to supply you with daily bread. God never gives old bread. It's always fresh. You can't store it up. You can't buy it up. You can't hoard it up. Hey, what I'm talking about tonight, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you can't store it up. You can't be full of the Holy Ghost tonight. You can't be on fire tonight, wake up in the morning, expect it in the morning. You got to stay in that word. You got to stay in prayer. You got to stay constant where God is. Listen to me tonight. I'm telling you tonight. Hey, He's fresh every morning. You say, preacher, oh no, what happened last week in revival? Hey, that's old now. If you're still living about 2 weeks ago, you about dried up. That's the old stuff. Listen to me tonight. Give us our daily bread. God never gives us old bread. It's always fresh. Turn with me, if you will, to Job 23 in verse number 12. And here's what old Job said about this bread tonight, this bread of life that's in his life and that's in mine and your life. I see. We notice the position of God, but we also see the need we have for His authority when He gives us that daily bread. That daily bread, it never gets old. It's always fresh. Job 23 in verse number 12 tonight. I want to show you this, what Job said about this bread of life and how the biggest necessity in his life is the Word of God. That God would feed him. Look what he says tonight. Job 23 in verse number 12. Here's what Job said. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. He said, I ain't been wishy-washy. I've not went back and forth. I know where my help comes from, saith the Lord. Amen. He said, I don't go back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary. He said, listen, I need God more than I need food. Tonight, can I say to you, he said, give us this day our daily bread. You can go a long time without physical food. You can. You can go the rest of your life and never eat bread again in your life. There's some people who don't eat bread because they're afraid they're going to gain weight. They don't even eat bread. Give me the whole loaf. Hey, give me the whole loaf, amen. Hey, give me the bread of life. I want that bread. Man, I've grown up. You had taters and a piece of meat and bread on the table every night. Can I get an amen? Man, there was something there. I didn't know you could eat gravy without taking sunbeam bread and rolling it up, Brother Joey. I'm talking about rolling that stuff up, making you a platter around there so your gravy wouldn't run off. Something you could sop it in. Can I say to you tonight, this is like the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Man, you roll him up and get some of him. I'm telling you what, it'll do you good. I see tonight that he's our daily bread. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I've esteemed the words of my mouth more than necessary food. Is he more? Do you need him more than necessary than food? Lamentations 3:22. Here's what the Bible said. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I see authority. He's the authority. He's the one that gives you the bread that you need every day of your life. Ask him for it. If you're hungry tonight spiritually, in the morning when you get up, here's what I want you to say. Lord, give me today my daily bread. Give me today my daily bread. Give me what I need today to get me through this day. You say, preacher, I'm worried about tomorrow. Don't worry about the next day. You may not even live that day. Just worry about today. Amen. Worry about what he's gave you today. Let me give you this. I see that he gives us our daily bread. That's number one, his authority. But number two, he's the only one who has the authority to forgive your debts. Only one. Only one tonight. He says this. He says not only give us our daily bread, but he, and look what he says in verse number 12. And here's what he said. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He is the only one that can forgive us. He is the only one. You know, there's a lot of folks in here, and you're going to know this when I'm telling you this. Have you ever just been to a place you couldn't forgive yourself? You done something? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You done something? You say, man, I can't believe I've done that. Oh, my goodness. And 3 or 4 days on down there, oh, I can't believe I've done it. Oh, I can't believe I've done it. I can't. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If you get this prayer in your life, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. As I forgive others. Look what he says here in Matthew 18:21. He's the only one that can forgive us. Matthew 18:21, the Bible says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how all shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times. And in verse 22 of Matthew 18, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. He said, you want me to forgive you your debts? You forgive the next person. You forgive the next person. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to step out on a limb, but I'm going to say it because I believe it. I believe it's true. One of the greatest tragedies in a local body church and the greatest division that can get in a local body church is when another brother can't forgive another brother. Or another sister can't forgive another sister. Guess what? We're family. Hey, amen? We family in here. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Hey, this ain't a quiet church. Hey, I've heard all y'all, and I've heard your mamas and your daddies. Amen? This ain't a quiet church. We family. And there's not a person in here in your own family back home you ain't had a squabble with. Every one of y'all's had a squabble with somebody in your family. Don't say you ain't, because you have. Only reason you ain't, you might be Ryder's little age. He don't even know we've had squabbles with him yet. But we've had them. Guess what we do, though, at Christmas and Thanksgiving and everything else? We suck it up and go on in there, Brother Jim. That's what we do. And we forgive one another. And we love on one another and we hug one another. The local body church, he says this. He said, God is with us. Lord, forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors. And why is that, preacher? Because in the local body church, there's going to be times you're going to get your feelings hurt. It ain't going to go the way you think it should go. It ain't going to be your way. And you don't need to hit the highway. Amen? And you don't need to hit the highway. What do I need to do, preacher? You need to ask forgiveness. Or if you are, or if you're the one that's been offended and somebody asks you to forgive them, what are you supposed to do? That's easy said and hard to do. But are we supposed to do it? Yes. You know what the Bible says, Brother Riley Cagle? If I don't forgive you, the Father will not forgive me. And we're just going down to verse 14. That's where he says it at, right after the model prayer. If I don't forgive you, he won't forgive me. I believe that's the greatest sin in the local body church in the day we live in, is people are not willing to forgive one another. They're not willing to forgive one another. And he said this tonight. He said, God is with us. Let us get to the place that we can forgive one another and love one another. He said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then he said, and lead us not into temptation. Why did Jesus ask the Father, don't lead me into temptation? Because he's been led into temptation. Well, that ain't biblical, preacher. Wait a second. It said the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Huh? We just read it last week. Chapter number 4, he led him into the wilderness. He said, you pray to the Father. Say, Lord, don't lead me into temptation. Don't let me go that way. Lord, don't let me go that way. Even when my own self-will gets in the way and I want to go to that temptation, and I know I shouldn't go there, and I know I shouldn't taste that, and I know I shouldn't look, and I know I shouldn't go that way. Lord, don't let me go that way. Your will's better than my will. Put something in my way. Whatever it takes, stop it. Don't let me go that way. And that's when you get to praying. Lead me not into temptation. You know what, though? There's a lot of times in our life we want to go there because we like being there. And guess what? We don't pray, Lord, don't lead us not. We say, Lord, let us have our way. And we get right to where we ain't supposed to be, and we're wound up in temptation. You said, you believe that, preacher? I believe that so much. Let me show you this in the Bible tonight. Let's keep on moving here. Let's not get stopped right here. Lead us not into temptation. This is the authority of God. He's got the authority to feed us. He's got the authority to forgive us. And he's got the authority to lead us if we'll allow him. Amen? Can I say to you, he won't drag you. Nobody in this room's got, I don't see a chain around nobody's neck. Nobody's got a chain around their neck. He's not dragging you. He's letting you live a free life. And you're going to live and die by the choices that you make. And Brother BJ is too. But my prayer is, Lord, lead this church not into temptation. My prayer every day when I get up every morning, Lord, do not let that church split. Lord, do not let nothing get in that church that would split that local body. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We the core. I care less. I'm telling you, that's my heart. Lord, I don't want that. I don't want to see that. I want to see a church that's healthy and prosperous and growing, and people are loving on one another, forgiving one another. They're being fed by the Word of God, and they're not messing with temptation. They're getting away from it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 13. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. You say, preacher, is that good? Man, yeah, don't let me go in that place, Lord. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Brother Boyd, you spoke a while ago. But God is faithful. That's what you said. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Lord, if I got to go that way, I'm thankful that you're going to make it where I can bear it. But Lord, if it be thy will, lead me not that way. He says tonight, he's with us when he feeds us. He's with us when he forgives us. He's with us when he leads us, and he's with us when he delivers us. And deliver us from evil. How will you be delivered from evil, and how will I be delivered from evil? Isaiah chapter number 12, verse number 2 and verse number 3. For you who are taking notes, this would be a great verse to put in your memory bank. Isaiah chapter number 12 and verse number 2. The Bible says, behold, God is my salvation. He is my deliverer. I will trust. So when Isaiah 12, 2, when I get to this place and I'm reading this and I'm studying the Lord's Prayer, I mean the model prayer, I want to know that I'm at the place where, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Verse number 3 of Isaiah 12, 3, this is what you need in your memory bank. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. There's wells you can draw out of. When he's delivered you, there's something, Brother Cagle, you can reach in there and you can grab on. There's something you can reach in there and you can grab. I was witnessing to a man today, talking to him, inviting him to church. And the Bible says some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. Amen? And I was witnessing, man, son, I was letting it eat, inviting him to church. I said, the Spirit's leading you, you come his way. He said, you know Brother Eric Carruth? I said, I sure do. He said, man, he's been wearing me out, inviting me to church. And the only thing I told him was, I said, I just want you to know this, some plants, but some waters. And I'm the one doing the watering right now. He's done the planting. And I pray God gives the increase. Amen? That's what it's about. One plants and one waters, but God gives the increase. So why is that, preacher? That's wells you can draw out of. That's what you can draw out of. When he told me Brother Eric been inviting him and witnessing to him, you think I let up? I know what my brother been telling him. He didn't tell him, come on over to a dead, dry church. Don't come on over where there's division and everybody ain't getting along. He didn't tell him that. You know what he told him? Y'all come on over, you're going to be loved. But he didn't tell him, y'all come over and y'all won't be judged. He didn't tell him that, I guarantee. Because he know judgment's going to start at the house of the Lord. Preacher ain't never going to judge you. Deacons ain't going to judge you. Sunday schools ain't going to judge you. A women leader ain't going to judge you. We ain't got the authority to judge. But that word will when we start reading it and opening it up. And people think that you're the one doing the judging, but you're not. It's the Word of God. So I say he delivered us from evil. So I see tonight, let me move on here. I want to move on and get to my next point. I see tonight that we see his position. We see tonight his position. We see his authority. But also we see the necessity of God's majesty. Of his majesty, how great he really is. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 13, if you will. For thine is the kingdom. It's his kingdom. We just get to be a part of it. Ain't that good? It's his kingdom. We ain't got to worry about dressing it. We ain't got to worry about taking care of it. That's his kingdom. Look at this tonight. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We see God's majesty tonight. It is a necessity in our life. You say, what is his majesty? What do we need to get fixed on as a church? What do we need to get looking at? God is with us. What do we need to do? Number one, we say it's his kingdom. He says in verse 13, for thine is the kingdom. It's his kingdom. Tonight, everything we do in this place ought to be about kingdom work. When we pray, it ought to be about kingdom work. It should never be about building Union Chapel Baptist Church. It never should be. This church, we shouldn't worry about this church being built. We should be worried about kingdom work. He said, if he be lifted up, he'd draw all men. Amen. We're not worried about building us a name out here. Amen? We're worried about building his name, putting up his name, lifting up his name, elevating his name. So we see tonight it's his kingdom. You say, preacher, God's majesty, it's a necessity. What do we need? We need his kingdom. Can I say to you tonight, we need his power. In the Lord's, in the model prayer, he said not only is his kingdom, but it is his power. When we get to the point that we let him feed us, forgive us, lead us, and deliver us, there's no telling what kind of kingdom he can build here for himself with his power. I hope somebody's believing me here. There's no telling. We're not, listen, he's not building a 12,000 square foot building out there to eat chicken in one time a month. Hello? Listen to me. He's not building that out there to eat chicken in one time a month. If you think that's what it's for, you've missed the mark, and I have too. We better back up and don't put no more money in it. Tell the carpenters not to come. Stay home. It's not a playground out there. It's not a pig pen. It's God's house. You don't walk out of this door, walk in that door, and separate all and say, well, this is God's and that's ours. No, no, it's all his. And it's not, that place is not built for us to go out there and just eat chicken and have a good time. It's for ministry. It's for his kingdom. It's for his power. And it's that he get glory. That he get glory. Man, you won't believe the people I've talked to that's rode by here. And man, what are y'all doing? I said, we ain't doing nothing. God's just doing it. God, and it all, come on. I said, whatever. I'm just telling you, God's doing it. It's his kingdom. It's his power. And it's his glory. Let me show you this. God's majesty, it's his kingdom, his power, and his glory. When we get lined up with this and we see God is amongst us, we'll see his kingdom, we'll see his power, and we'll see his glory. Don't forget what we've seen, okay, at this church in the past years. Okay? But I'm not feasting on what, I don't want to remember and feast on what used to be. You know what that is? That ain't worth nothing, used to be. I'm going to show you, Brooke, that ain't worth nothing. Used to be ain't, no. I used to be a preacher. That ain't worth nothing. Ain't worth nothing. You say, well, preacher, can we live on what happened 10 years ago over here? No, you can't. You can remember it, but it won't do you no good. Might encourage you down the road just a little bit, but it won't sustain you. You got to have that manna every morning. Every day of your life, you got to have that manna. You got to be fed from the Holy Ghost of heaven. You can let God himself feed your heart, your soul, your mind, your spirit. If not, that won't be nothing over there more than, like I done said, we'll go in there and eat chicken one time a month. We'll put up a bunch of rules and regulations, and that thing will be regulated to death over there. Just like this place here. One man away from it being regulated to death. One deacon body away from it being regulated to death. One women's leader on the women from it being regulated to death. You start doing all that regulation, holding stuff out. Number one, his power, his glory, and his kingdom cannot do what it needs to do in a local body church. But when you say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done, God will come down and he'll be amongst you. He said not only is it his kingdom and his power and his glory, but I don't know if you caught this or not, he said forever. So if you want his blessings on your life, you line up with that model prayer that he's asked us to pray, he'll be with you forever. Forever. So, preacher, you think God can really do what you just told us about that building over there and how he can, this is more than just eating and playing in? You think it's something bigger than that? I do. He said, you think God can do something? I do. I'm going to show you in the Bible. I want you to turn with me. Just, man. Well, when you're having fun, time flies, don't it? I want you to turn with me to Numbers chapter number 11 and verse number 1. First one that gets there, let me know. Brother Les, you there, Numbers 11, 1. Stand up and read it, and read it like you mean it. Number one tonight, if we're going to want God amongst us, we don't need to be complaining. You see what happened? They complained. Why did they complain? Because they was hungry. They was tired of manna. They was tired of it. They was going to starve to death. They said, this food ain't enough, what you give us. This recipe is not enough. What you set up is not enough. Can I say to you, God is enough. Who else is in Numbers tonight? Brother Cagle, stand up and read me Numbers 11, 23.
See now whether my words shall come to pass unto thee or not.
He says, my hand's short. No. His kingdom, his power, his glory forever. And his hand ain't short. From 1 to 23, I'm going to give you a synopsis of the problem. From 1 to 23, I'm going to give it to you. They was hungry and they was complaining and they wanted meat. They wanted meat. Everybody wants meat till they get meat. Man, I want more meat of the word. Everybody wants more meat. And then when they get it, they can't handle it. Because if you can't handle the milk, you ain't going to get a hold of the meat. And from 1 to 23, they're complaining and they're about to drive old Moses slap crazy. Can I get an amen? And old Moses about had all he could take. And he goes to the Lord. Now I'm paraphrasing. You go home and read it. And he said, Lord, what am I going to do? And the Lord said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to feed every one of them boys. I'm going to feed them all for 1 month. I'm going to give them plenty to eat. I'm going to give them the meat they want. And Moses said, I've got 600,000 foot soldiers. What are we going to do? Kill all of our cattle? We're going to kill all of our ox? Are we going to kill everything we got, Lord? Everything, are we going to extinguish everything we've got? Everything we've got up to this point, are we going to waste it all to feed somebody? And then the Lord said in verse 23, he said, do you think my hand's short? I'm talking to somebody tonight. And you say, preacher, boy, it's getting thin around here. It's getting this. Do you think God's hand's short? Do you think his hand is short where he can't reach down and pull out of heaven? Pull it out of somewhere you never thought it'd come from. Brother, sister, we, wife, whatever, I'm hooked up. Hey, we've had that, ain't we? Y'all know what I'm talking about? She'll kill me when I go, I can't help it. We've been there, ain't we? Les Carr told me I ain't worth talking to after I get done preaching. I ain't answered a question correctly anyway. We've been there. Well, we didn't know where it was going to add up or how it was going to ever hook up. And God reached down from heaven and just set it right there in your lap. You thought it was going to come from this area. Instead, it's come somewhere you never knew. And here's what he told Moses. He said, do you think my hand's short? Do you think I'm going to have to kill everything just to feed them men? He said, oh, no. Tonight, can I say to you, when you say, Lord, I see tonight your position. You're higher than I. You know more than I know. I know you've got all the authority. And I see the necessity in my life. I want you to lead me. Okay? He's going to pull something out that we ain't seen, y'all. He's pulling something out we ain't seen. There's no reason these pews are in here without them being full. If we're not going to get out and witness and fill these pews up for the kingdom, let's take up the ones nobody sits in. We don't need them. Put them in storage. Get them out of here. Choke it up some. Get us closer. But that ain't the vision he gave me. That ain't the vision he gave me. The vision he gave me that one day this place, you might be eating chicken in here. And you might be worshiping out there. We have not because we ask not. And I'm going to leave you with this question. Is God with us or not? And if he is, let's get to praying and he'll show up in a mighty way. Father, I love you and I thank you and I praise you and I glorify you and I lift up your name. Father, there is no other name given under heaven tonight, Father. Lord, as I bow in your presence tonight, Father, I am just so overwhelmed with what you're doing at this place. Father, I am just so blown away with your mercy and your grace and how you do it each and every time. Father, I thank you tonight that you're high and lifted up. I thank you tonight that I was talking to the core and our deacons are in here and our Sunday school teachers and leaders of this church is present tonight. And Father, I thank you tonight for that, Lord God. I thank you tonight that they was present to hear what the word of the Lord says. Lord, I thank you tonight that it's your kingdom, it's your power, it's your glory, and it is forever tonight, Father. And Lord God, tonight we see that authority and we see your position and we lay it in your hands tonight, Father. Lord, we pray tonight, Lord God, that you would bless this place. We really do, Lord God. And we ask you to move on it. We ask you to fill these pews up tonight. Not for Union Chapel Baptist Church. Not that we would get any glory out of it. But all the glory would be kingdom work, Lord God. That we'd be lifting up the name of Jesus. That you'd move tonight. That you'd have your will and way in this place, Father. Lord, I pray Sunday morning when it comes, that same spirit that's in here right now will be here Sunday morning. That there be no hindering spirit, Lord God. And the one that's already going to come and hinder it, Lord God, I'll move them out of this place where we ain't got no time for hinders. Lord God, we want to see your hand. We want to see you work. We want to see you move, Father. Father, we want to see people saved and get closer to you and walk that Christian walk that you've called them to do. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you that it's your kingdom, that it's your power, and it's your glory, and it's forever. And Lord, tonight, I don't know all the answers, but I do know this. You hold them all. And Lord God, tonight, whoever needs an answer right now, I don't know, but I'm speaking this by the Holy Ghost tonight. Whoever that needs an answer, and they need it soon, Lord, I pray that you would answer it for them tonight. I pray that you would open the windows of heaven. I pray that you would remove the veil that they've not been able to see and give them eyes to see and ears to hear. And Lord God, that you would move like never before. Lord, if there's anybody here doubting what you can do, Lord, before you ever do it for this church, I pray you would do it in their life, that that unbelief would leave and they would only believe. Father, I love you, I praise you, I glorify you. I lift up no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Bless your people in Jesus' name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. Amen. Brother Brent, get us out.